Well, it's a pleasure to come and share with you today. Thank you again for the kind invitation. And as we follow on from Easter, that's a lovely banner. I don't know who made it, but it certainly makes a very strong statement, and it's very encouraging to see it as you come into church. And I sometimes think Easter goes too quickly. And I often say in our own church fellowship that we don't really have long enough around the cross. We've got Good Friday, but we don't have a Sunday where we can devote to the different aspects of what it meant for the Lord Jesus to die for us. And I feel that Easter's a bit like that. We rush on. We go to Easter and then we rush on. So this morning we're going to remain on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and specifically his appearance to the disciples in John chapter 21. I suppose as we come to church this morning, in terms of faith, we're all at very different places. And at different times in our lives, we are also at different places as well. There are times when things are great and we're on the mountaintop, and there probably are other times when faith is a little more dim and we're struggling. Sometimes the departures that we may have from faith are very obvious. Other times, and it may be this morning as I look out on you, you seem to be worshipping, but you may be far from being close to the Lord Jesus. Sometimes in life there are events that knock our faith. Different situations, maybe broken relationships or illness or accidents or whatever it might be, they can bring a challenge to faith. And this morning we're going to think of a man who had a very, very public breakdown in his faith. And we're going to see how, in wonderful grace — we were singing about God's grace there just a minute ago — and we're going to discover how the Lord Jesus, in real tenderness, restored this man and brought him back to that place of service for him. So if you have a Bible, perhaps you can join me in reading John chapter 21, verse 15 through to 25. It's important to read God's word, and it's important to measure what I say against God's word. It's God's word that we want to hear, not just words of John Aiken this morning. And in the reading of God's word, God can speak to us. The title in my NIV is "Jesus Reinstates Peter." Verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread amongst the brothers that the disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testified to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. And Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. I'm sure God will bless to us the reading of his word. And as we reflect upon it, we trust that he would speak to us this morning. I don't know if we've got the first slide. In the earlier part of John chapter 21, we discover that the Lord Jesus appears to his disciples. And some have called that section breakfast on the beach, because the Lord Jesus provides breakfast for these men who had been fishing. And in fact, this is the third time that Jesus appears to his disciples as a group. So great was the trauma that they had experienced through the death of the Lord Jesus that these disciples needed to know him again. And Jesus knew that after the resurrection, there would be work for him to do. He needed to restore and recommission his disciples in service. And so the meeting on the beach was no casual encounter between old friends. Jesus turns up and meets his disciples because he had work to do with them. So in the fishing trip and then in breakfast, Jesus shows his disciples that he is alive, that he is the same Lord, and that he has still work for them to do. Jesus is still doing this kind of work today. In the 21st century, our lives can be complex, perplexing, and often we struggle. And Jesus comes alongside us, patiently, deliberately, to restore and to renew us. And as I've already said, we need this at every stage of our lives. As different experiences face us and buffet us, we need the ministry of the Lord Jesus to us. So this appearance of Jesus is about restoring the confidence of the disciples in him and renewing the commission to serve him as he would leave them. And he helps them to see that the game is not up, that their calling is still intact, and they still have work for him to do. The section that we read from from verse 15 to 25, there's almost three sermons in this section. So I do apologize that I'm going to skim through these 10 or 11 verses. And if you had to read the earlier part of the chapter, this is maybe a slight overstatement, but I've said it's all about Peter. Because in verse 2, Peter is named first. In verse 3, Peter says, I'm going to fish, and they follow. Verse 7, it's Peter who jumps in to the sea. Verse 11, it's Peter that's described as climbing on board the ship to drag the nets ashore. And so we have a focus on Peter in this chapter. But as we come to verse 15, that focus is intensified. And as Jesus prepares breakfast on the beach, the scene there may well have brought back memories for Peter. Maybe it even touched his conscience. The fire and the coals may have reminded Peter of the time when he denied the Lord Jesus in John chapter 18 and verse 18. Remember, he was standing by a fire. As a fisherman, Peter was courageous. He was often first to see things before the other disciples. He wasn't slow to speak out. He was an enthusiast and always gave, or seemed to give, 110%. But sometimes he was impulsive, and sometimes he spoke too soon. I'm sure there's nobody like that here. In Matthew 26, he said, as Jesus went to the cross, as he thought about the other disciples, even if they all fall away, I will never leave you. And then Jesus says, Peter, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me. And sure enough, he did. To save his own skin in that moment, he said he wasn't a disciple of Jesus. And at that time, if you read in Luke chapter 22 and verse 54, you'll read the solemn phrase that Peter followed at a distance. Peter followed at a distance. I wonder how close to Jesus we are this morning. Could that be a description of us? We're following at a distance. I think it's very challenging being a believer in the 21st century. There are many challenges on our faith. I went yesterday to our church to cut the grass and to put up a banner which just welcomes people to the church. But somebody else had put up the banner advertising an Alpha course that we hope to run in May. But that banner was ripped down and lying on the ground. To be a Christian in the 21st century isn't easy. And we need to stand for our faith. Not be like Peter and crumple at the first challenge to it. And so it's my estimate that Peter failed as a leader. He ought to have been an example for others to follow. But we read that all of the disciples fled and Peter wasn't there leading them. Peter failed as a follower. He didn't have the courage to stand for Jesus. And Peter failed as a friend. When Jesus needed his support most, Peter failed. And reflecting on the life of Peter, I wonder if some of his pain was that before Jesus died, he never had the opportunity to sort it out with Christ. He was living with regret. Scripture doesn't say that, but I just can imagine. Here was a man who was enthusiastically seeking to serve his master. But when the time came, he failed. And I'm sure there was deep pain in his heart. If there are issues that you need to sort out, don't leave it. Sort it out today. And we do need to take seriously the challenge of resolving issues. If that was the case for Peter, what a relief for him that Jesus was risen. He would be able to say sorry and then perhaps restore his relationship. I don't know many folks here. And I don't know if any of you have failed as a leader, failed as a follower, or failed as a friend. And how long you may have lived with that failure. Something that nobody else has known about. Well, the wonder of reading God's word and being in his presence is that by his spirit we can be changed. This morning, if you have failed in any way, I urge you this morning to do business with God. As they finished eating, Jesus addresses Peter. And from the reading of these verses, the text, it almost seems as if he does it publicly. It doesn't sound as if, and I may be wrong, but it doesn't sound as if he takes him through into the back hall and has a wee chat with him. It's not like that. Peter had denied the Lord publicly, and perhaps there's going to be public restoration. Not because Jesus wants to embarrass Peter, but perhaps he wants to affirm him in the presence of the other disciples. One of the challenging things that I observed in these verses was that Jesus doesn't address Peter as the rock, because he failed to live up to that name. He uses his name, which is Simon. Simon is the man who trusts in himself. And as such will always be Simon. But Simon trusting in Jesus becomes Peter, the rock. Peter, in his restoration, would become the courageous witness and one of the key leaders providing a foundation for the early church. Peter denied the Lord three times. Jesus asks Peter three personal questions and gives him three instructions. Jesus asks, "Do you love me more than these?" Different commentators suggest that these are different things. I personally think Jesus is saying, in the presence of the other disciples, "Do you love me more than these disciples?" Because Peter had boasted about his love for Christ and had even contrasted that love with the other disciples in John 13:37 and Matthew chapter 26 and 33. And he is being called to undo the three denials with three statements of love and loyalty. Some feel that the use of the word love has a significant meaning. There are two words here used, philia and agape, but I'm not sure that's the emphasis of this passage. The Lord Jesus is reinstating Peter and asking him to say that he loved him three times. What is certain is that until Jesus asks the questions of Peter, he's not ready to be a follower again. And I love how in these verses, the Lord Jesus deals with Peter. And I think we, as ordinary people, have lessons to learn in this. Jesus doesn't say, "I told you so." Peter is probably already crushed, feeling the pain, and Jesus doesn't take it further or make it worse. In other words, there's no power games with Jesus. He's not seeking to really push Peter down. I'm sure that Peter already felt pain, so what would that achieve? No, Jesus handles those who fail with care and gentleness. There's a wonderful verse in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 3 in the Old Testament when it speaks about God's servant who would be the Lord Jesus. It says that the servant of the Lord, the anticipated Messiah, it says of him, "A bruised reed will he not break. A smoking flax will he not quench." Jesus isn't out to break us. He's out to restore us. Jesus didn't ask, "What have you done?" Jesus asks, "Where do we go from here?" Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that a lesson for us? Whether it's with our children, or whether it's with our spouse, or whether it's with somebody else in our family. We don't crush them or force them to grovel before us. But we're really interested in how things can move forward. There is hope in who Jesus is and how he treats us. What he wishes for us is forgiveness and restoration. And the key issue for Jesus is where Peter's love is. And that's the key issue for us this morning. Jesus isn't asking us about church, or family, or anything else. He's simply asking us, "Do you love me?" And Peter gets frustrated because Jesus asks him this three times. But he responds each time saying, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And I love that Peter uses the word Lord because he meant that Jesus was his master. And so in Peter's confession of his love for the Lord,
the Lord also commissions him.
And so despite Peter's faults and failures, he did love the Lord, and he wasn't ashamed to admit it in the presence of the other disciples. And in this engagement with Peter, Jesus restores Peter to apostleship and to leadership. This experience of forgiveness clears the way for Peter to serve the Lord Jesus once again. And in the recommissioning of Peter, Jesus moves him from being a fisherman to being a shepherd. Jesus says, "Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep." Lambs and mature sheep need feeding, they need leading, and they need protecting. That's the task of the spiritual shepherd. And being a shepherd of God's flock is a big responsibility. As I came in this morning, I looked at the faces of the elders on the board there. Nice smiling gents. But we ought to pray for our leaders, because it is a significant responsibility. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, we are encouraged, or from verse 1 to 5, we are encouraged just to reflect on the role of the shepherd of the people of God. There are enemies which seek to destroy the flock, and the shepherds need to be alert and courageous to protect the sheep of God. And the most important thing that a shepherd of the people of God can do is to love Jesus. Because if they love the shepherd, then they will love the sheep as well. And so you need to pray for the spiritual health of your leaders, that they would be those who would be providing for the sheep that feeding, that leading, and that protecting that the sheep need. Towards the end of this chapter, there is a very, very challenging few verses. Challenging for Peter, because the Lord Jesus has heard his confession. The Lord Jesus has recommissioned him. And then the Lord Jesus speaks about the cost of service. In verse 18, Jesus speaks to Peter about the future and what this new role that he's about to have might cost him. They had talked about Peter's life and his failure. Now they speak about Peter's death and his future. Jesus says to Peter that when you're old, your hands will be stretched out and somebody will lead you to where you don't want to go. Jesus here is preparing Peter to be martyred. At least the tradition in the Christian church says that Peter was crucified upside down as he felt that he wasn't worthy to die in exactly the same way that Jesus had. And around the world today, especially in places like Pakistan, there are brothers and sisters of ours who are being martyred for their faith. We need to continue to pray for them and to support them as we can. And it's very interesting that it's only after the Lord Jesus shares Peter's future with him that in verse 19, Jesus says, "Follow me." I don't think it's a question. It's an instruction. But it's very challenging that it was only after that Jesus indicates the death that Peter would die that he actually says to him, "Follow me." I'm sure these words would have brought joy to Peter's heart. He may have thought that such a thing would never be possible again. Failed. failed as a leader, failed as a follower, failed as a friend. And yet Jesus is saying to him again, follow me. And here he was, possibly ready to begin all over again. And in these moments, Peter learned that failure with Jesus is not necessarily final. I think sometimes that we are less gracious than the Lord is. Because very often, if somebody fails, we see it as final, and we don't restore, perhaps, as we should. But like us, Peter never seems to learn. Because we find him, as soon as Jesus says, follow me, and tells him how he's going to die, he turns and he sees John, the beloved disciple. And Peter says, what about him? Peter was about to learn that to be looking at others is to be distracted from following Jesus. Often, we get deflected by looking at other people. Jesus' purpose for John would be very different from his purpose for Peter. Peter would be a shepherd. John would be a prophet. Peter would be a preacher. John would be a writer. Peter would die in agony. John would die on the Isle of Patmos, perhaps in serenity on his own. Peter's responsibility was to follow and not to meddle in the lives of other people. And I need to say this morning that the personal relationship between Jesus and other Christians is a sacred thing. How their future will look, what their service will be, their contribution to the kingdom is between them and Jesus. Their calling and convictions and beliefs might be quite different from ours, but we ought to thank God for them and be inspired and challenged by their faith and their example. I understand that leadership sometimes requires us to assess the spiritual lives of others. But generally speaking, as a believer, we need to be focused on our walk with Jesus, not on somebody else's. Our focus must be on Christ, and we must hear his words to us, as they were to Peter. Keep on following me. That's a challenge for us this morning. Not to look at what others are doing, because that can cause us to be distracted and deflected, but to keep following Jesus. In our own church fellowship, 2 weeks ago, I was asked to speak on Mary, the mother of Jesus, a topic that we don't speak of much in our church tradition. And the topic was standing until the end. So right at the cross of Jesus, there was Mary standing, having lived her life, supporting him and serving him. And the whole thrust of that message was perseverance. And that's the message that I would leave with you this morning. Not only if we failed, we can be restored, but the challenge for each of us not to be deflected and look at others, but to persevere and to serve the Lord in our way, in the way that he's called us to, so that one day he might say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant.